Father, we humbly, Lord, come before you this morning in the most precious name that we have, that name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we just know that you have come to prepare your people, Lord, to make ready a prepared people, to gather together your elect before the judgments fall. We're in that day. We just pray, Father, that we would hold you unchanging, and that you would help us today prepare ourselves for the going home. But we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, we've been on kind of a crash course here. Information is just so much. It's very difficult to know what to say, what not to say, what to bring up. But with our study in the book of Romans, weave into it as well as possible thoughts that the Lord concerning the end time and today. So if we open our Bible this morning to Romans chapter 7. And believe me, it's imperative that you don't be missing, because I don't have time in this like we used to do. 15 minutes of every message and try to talk. There's been so much information. There's so much that has to prepare ourselves spiritually and to actually just get out of the way. We prepare ourselves physically for that. I mean, on the earth. in chapter 21, there'll be a distress of nations. Distress and squeeze. It basically began an article from the Esquire magazine. Pertaining to the crash, the great financial collapse, Brother Branham said, and it's very important that we are aware. before we get more thing, because aware that without a lot of communication, and let me just read this for you. How many ever heard of a meteor shower? Leonid meteor shower. Mark your calendar, 17th, 1998. A month away. Every 3 years, Earth passes part of the debris, trailing Tempest Tuttle. This time around, orbiting with us about 500 high-priced sensitive satellites that we depend on for payment. Transacting internationally, receiving TV broadcasts, ATM machines, and pumping gas. These satellites generate $20 billion per year in worldwide business. In this November, they're going to be virtually standby. How intense is the Leonid cloud? Meteors are visible at a rate of per hour. But in 1966, the last time our orbit through this part of the Leonid storm, meteors at a rate of 1,000 an hour. The Leonid cloud is basically dust, just dust. Yet, these particles have a velocity sufficient to give a speck of sand the energy of a .22 caliber bullet. As John Pike of the Federation of American Institutes puts it, satellites just aren't designed to have a small stick of dynamite tossed at them. Several years ago, a much less meteor storm, Europe's flagship communication satellite Olympus, permanently out of commission. So, I don't know what will add to the woes for building. The crisis from the economic of those things, and Reed, I think you left over for some of you. But very apparent, brothers, that the judgments are on. And so, in picking up that Romans read, begin first. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that the law. The law hath dominion over a man. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law. So then, if while her husband is married to another man, an adulterer. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law. so that she is no adulteress with another man. Wherefore, my husbands also are become dead to the law by the promise of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth God. Now, here on the law, which govern the marriage contract. Paul said, for the woman which hath a husband, the law to her husband, as long as he liveth. Then if while her husband is married to another man, shall be called adulteress. Therefore, called an adulteress, there is also a law that deals with the punishment of an adulterous woman. And since America married itself to Christ through a covenant called the marriage vow. She has left the vow, the Declaration of Independence, to be called an adulterous nation. The same punishment that the adulterer. To begin this study, we have this covenant between God and this nation. This covenant that I'm talking about is not the Constitution of the United States. It's a covenant between the government and the people, by the people, for the people. But the Declaration of Independence is that document which places America under the authority of God. Paul said, wherefore are become dead to the law by the promise of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him from the dead, that we should be bring forth fruit unto God. So our forefathers expressed to be divorced from the kingdom of England, his form of government, and to come under the rule and governance and authority of God. Now the Declaration 1776 said, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, among the powers of the earth the to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, in the opinion of mankind requires the causes which impel separation. So this is a separation agreement. The Declaration of Independence is a declaration of separation. Her first husband, that they were gone. That was England and its rule. And that they were coming under the authority of God. Or as it says, nature's God. As nature's God. Because we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with inalienable rights, that among the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the covenant of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them seem most likely to affect their safety. Now this tells us then that we the people of the United States had declared a separation from the King of England and from his form of rule and had subjected ourselves to God and his authority. And it's interesting, if you read the entire Declaration of Independence, you'll find that the abuses that you see in the government today are the same abuses that the people rejected the headship of England for. Then we find in doing so that a covenant would need to be written for the governing of the people by the people. And we entered into a republic form of government under a covenant we call the Constitution of the United States. And this covenant established that these unalienable rights, which were God given, would also be the major focus and priority of our Constitution, binding our people together. So in the First Amendment we read, Congress shall make no law respecting or establishing of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of press, or the right of the people to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of the grievances. Amendment 2 is a well-regulated militia necessary to the security of the free state and the right of the people to bear, to keep and bear arms. Fringe. Now, last week we read to you what the highest law official in the land said. They said a cultist. Believes in the coming of Christ, who believes in the Bible, and who believes strongly in the Second Amendment, which is the right to, and who also contribute financially to a Christian cause. That is a definition of a cult. And she goes on to say, this was in 1600, say that any one of those definitions exact word she used last week. But anyway, she said, and more than one of those would cause the government to take action, because those people are in jeopardy, their children, and possibly death. Anyway, she spoke those words after, basically murdered men and women. So we know that we have a government that has left its first love. She's prostituted herself to the nations, and she's left God. Now, let's first begin to look into God's Word to see what God thinks of adultery. When He gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the sixth commandment He gave to man was not adultery. Now, I do not think it is a strange thing that this, when the number six is the number of man, or the number that God gave for man, and it's when man was created on the day. So, a man is now ending 6,000 years of his existence, in which we know that 1,000 years of man is but a day to God. Therefore, man is his sixth day. Now, God took 6 days to create the seventh. He took 6,000 years to create. There's already been seven millenniums. But now, creation, there's been 1,000 years that man has had. The seventh is the new millennium, which is shortly to come. So man, being number six, the commandment, the sixth commandment was, thou shalt not commit adultery. And now man is day. Therefore, 6 day also, and he has 6 days to live out his time here on earth, and it is fitting that the destruction of man will come at the end of the 6 day. For the day that you do those things, that day you will die. In Leviticus 10, God said, and the man that committeth adultery, even he that committeth adultery, the adulterer and the shall surely be put to death. So the penalty is death. Therefore we see by the word of God that death is for adultery. In Proverbs 2, we read, but whoso commits adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. People commit adultery, they lack understanding. Why did this nation turn from God? Because they lack understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. And the soul of this nation has been destroyed. There's no doubt. Therefore, we must first be a spiritual death take place when a person loses any understanding that they might have had. In other words, they did run well. Something died. And what died was spiritually, they died. 1956, this nation died. As a nation, she rejected the gospel. 46 years later, this nation perished in the great judgment upon her. Proverbs 30:20, such is the way of an adulterous woman, she eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done wickedness. They don't even know what they've done. They have no clue. When I heard this week some of the filthy things that the President of the United States said, I've been to military training. The university, where, you have the locker room chat, and I've never in my 45 plus years of life have ever heard things spoken of that are as filthy as the things which this president said. I couldn't even imagine it in my mind, and therefore I won't even discuss it. That is how this nation is represented by that White House, the White Israel. In Ezekiel 16:32, he said, "But as a wife that committeth adultery, which takes strangers instead of her husband." So we have committed ourselves by the declaration of independence to God, to the authority of God. And we broadcast to the nations that we are under the authority of God, not under the authority of a king. And yet today, what? As some of you mentioned last week when we were bringing out these things, I also heard it this week on the radio that there's talks going on right now, the Clintons and Al Gore, for the possibility of Mrs. Clinton, vice president, when her husband happens, all it takes is one bullet and she's president. And how did she not by a vote? Didn't Brother Ram say this woman was a dictator? She's already dictating, brothers. The federal, she wanted to take over the federal health program when they first got in. That took all of Congress to finally back her down. But Congress is getting pretty weak because they've got 900 of their files exposing their dirty deeds. People work treacherously. Revelation 22, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." We see the tribulation and death are in 2 Peter, having eyes full of adultery that cannot see, beguiling unstable heart they have exercised with covetous practice. These are cursed children. Curse is upon them. Now remember, we went through the Wednesday night study. We gave you the shows the blessings on the one hand and the curse on the other. And for every blessing, there's a curse to match. And it all depends on your attitude toward the Word of God. Those that would keep the Word of God by it, they were blessed. Those that would reject the Word of God and not live by it, they're cursed. What about "thou shalt keep holy"? 7. Honoring the resurrection of the Lord. You see where that faces this nation. We have a president who's broken every one of the Ten Commandments. Every one of them. Not just one time. Mark 8 and verse 38. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall also the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And James 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Now you all know the law of the jealous husband. If the jealous husband even suspected that his wife was unfaithful, committing adultery, he would take it to the judge, or actually to the priest, who is a judge. And they would make a potion from the dirt off the tabernacle floor, put it together, they give her a little body toddy, they'd have her drink a little solution, and they would take barley, which barley is one of the things you can drink or eat, because barley has life in it, it's full of oxygen, and they would give the barley to the woman, and mix it with the water, she'd drink it. A woman had been unfaithful to her husband. Her belly would swell and her thighs would rot. Set in. Had she been faithful to her husband, then she would be given, in other words, had she not been able to have a child, she would become pregnant and be able to bring forth birth. Now what potion represent but the Word of God? The washing of the water by the Word. The potion didn't make, the Word didn't make you good or evil. The Word will only manifest what is in your heart already. So when the Word of God came forth to this nation, she had two horns, civil and ecclesiastical. And remember a horn, she looked like a lamb in Revelation 13. Remember the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were written by the 13. representing this nation. This nation is number 13 stripes, 13 stars, 13 colonies, but she's represented as a woman. Statue of Liberty. But notice, she was the only nation outside of Israel that was founded to be a Christian nation. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Yet what has happened to her? She played the part of a harlot. And though she had two horns in Revelation 13 and looked like a dragon, what did it say? Spoke like a dragon. And two horns, brother, sister, were a horn in Israel was to assemble the people, right? And the two horns were ecclesiastical and civil. And the civil was the United Nations, the assembling of the world. And the Ecclesiastes was the World Council of Churches, both coming out of America, number 13. You see? And yet, as we said, to see if she was virtuous and was faithful to her mate, Cain, when the Lord descended with a shout, and in 1956, the word had gone forth already, and she was pronounced judged as an adulterous nation. So what happened? Her belly swelled and her thumb began to rot. What happened to our economy? She's rotting. She's rotting right out from underneath us. One of the curses of Deuteronomy 28. In fact, we see two major curses. One is and the other is health. There's just two areas that you have to be concerned with: your economics and your health. And both are in dire jeopardy. We've gone over the plague many times, but right now, the very beginnings, brother, sister, plagues come, there will be depression that the world has never seen before. It is already in the makings. We saw last week when we read the article that it all began like a small cloud. Decided. The Thai baht thought nothing could ever happen. It was a strong economy. They saved over 30% of their savings, their money they saved. And crash, boom, it went. Then it brought down with it the Malaysian ringgit. And then from there it went to the Indonesian, I don't know what theirs was called, won, I think. Then it went to South Korean won. Now it's gone to Japan, to Russia, across Russia, into Latin America, Africa, and the whole world is crumbling. This weekend, this very weekend, the G7, the seven nations with the highest economy are meeting together to see what they can do to stop this thing from happening. They don't know what's going on. But it is. From confirmation and evidence, Brother Brown said, now let me tell you, friend, the God of Moses could take them in the ark and could take them away from the moles. And if God by instinct in a bird could call it away from danger, how much more ought it to call human beings who are inspired by the Holy Ghost? What an evil thing. What an adulterous generation. What an evil place that we're living in. What a sinful, ungodly nation that we have. God-forsaken, God-hating, sign-seekers, bandwagon riders, impersonators, carnal comparisons, led up with a bunch of nothing, coming to the end of the road. I speak that in the name of the Lord. Once more I'll call, it's up to you to answer. Now I've been crying out for I don't know how long now, prepared. Are you preparing? Spiritually? Are you preparing for the depression coming? Because if you're left for it, there will not only be depression, but those that are left will be hunted down like dogs, Brother Graham said. And there's coming viruses. They're already popping their heads to let us know they're here. And there's going to be disease like no man has ever seen, because all seven files will be opened at this time. Now, I'm not up here to try to scare you. I'm up here to let you know this is, in fact, what is happening. Scares me to death. think that some of you won't be prepared. You've got to prepare yourselves for the going home.
We read the other night. Let me just read you something. Remember when Jesus warned them at the first Exodus? Or second Exodus, excuse me. To be ready to escape. Well, the question comes up, is it right to flee from danger? On many occasions, the Word of God deals with the principle of taking action to escape danger or moving to another location to protect your loved ones from disaster or persecution. For example, Jesus commanded his disciples as follows, when they persecute you in the city, flee you to another city. Matthew 10:23. The Scriptures record numerous examples of the people of God fleeing from persecutors or escaping their enemies before their enemies could do them bodily harm. This drastic action to flee from danger does not reflect lack of faith on the part of God's people, but rather it is in keeping with the clear principles of using the mind God gave us to evaluate danger and take appropriate evasive action. The Scriptures record numerous examples of this. Noah and his sons preparing the ark for the danger of the flood. Can you imagine if Noah said, God's a good God. God's a good God. Surely if I miss the ark, save me some other way. No, God has a provided way. You either are in the ark or you're not in the ark. You're either part of the shout or you're not part of the shout. Abraham traveled to Egypt to escape the local famine in Palestine. Lot escaping from the wicked city of Sodom just before its destruction. And Moses escaping from Egypt and later his leading the exodus of the whole people of Israel from slavery and death in Egypt. Later we read of the flight of David from King Saul and the prophet Elijah escaping from the evil queen Jezebel and Ahab. In the New Testament, Jesus escapes from those who wanted to stone him and often travels with some secrecy. The epistles of the New Testament record numerous close escapes by the brave Apostle Paul, who often was forced to escape by night over the city walls so he could faithfully continue a tremendous missionary journey. Remember, he was let down by a basket. It is fascinating to note that Jesus warned his disciples in Matthew 24 to flee to the country when the Roman armies would begin the siege of Jerusalem. Now, this example here is so important. I want you to listen. And I want you to pay close attention because this is the Alpha. We are now living in the Omega. It is fascinating to note that Jesus Christ, and this was also spoken of in the Church Age book, this example. It is fascinating to note that Jesus Christ warned his disciples in Matthew 24 to flee to the country when the Roman armies would begin to siege Jerusalem. 38 years later, the prophecy was fulfilled. The Roman armies besieged Jerusalem but broke off the siege for a few weeks. Tens of thousands of Jews immediately fled from the country into the seemingly impregnable city of Jerusalem, whose walls were over 100 feet high. However, every single Christian in the church in Jerusalem took advantage of the lull in the siege and fled from the city into the country and beyond in response to the prophesied warning of Jesus. As a consequence, according to the early church, no Christians are known to have died in the fall of Jerusalem, when over 1 million were killed in AD 70. Although every mature Christian believer should be personally ready to die, if necessary, in the confidence that they will go to heaven to be with Christ, we are to use the wisdom and caution God gave us to protect our lives and loved ones. In light of the tremendous problems posed by the year 2000 computer crisis, I believe that they have a duty to awaken those around us to the very real dangers that lie ahead once we are equipped with the necessary information and documentation to convince our friends and loved ones of the disaster that may affect their jobs, their finances, possibly their lives. Brother, sister, those who have put everything into their job, or their job means everything to them, your job you won't have. There's going to be millions of people who will be laid off when this thing hits. And it's already hitting. Look, you say, here? Yes, here. Already around the world, there's so high. The unemployment rate is going to double digits everywhere quickly. Some of the markets have gone down by 90%. Their money has been devalued. And deflation set because of it. They can't sell their goods. Now, what happens when they've got too much inventory and they can't sell their goods? They have to quit making inventory. Is that right? Are you guys seeing any of that yet? You will shortly. Believe me, it's happened already. Two jean manufacturers have just closed their doors on two plants. They can't sell jeans anymore. Or they've got too much production. It's happening around. We read Wednesday night here half a dozen articles. 45. On what you have now available to you. I'm not talking about what's in your bank, because that bank won't be there either. How much do you have to live on? Do you have enough food to live a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, 4 months? You realize, brothers and sisters, in Asia, it's already been a year and nothing has changed. There's still rioting going on in the streets, raping, pillaging, murders. I'm not making this up. Those that have been here on Wednesday nights, you know we've read the articles. We're studying these things in great detail. It's a worldwide catastrophe that they've never faced before. It's worse. It'll be worse. Right now, it hasn't gotten worse yet than the Great Depression in 1930. But they said very soon it will be. They don't know what to do. The IMF is running out of money. They're asking the U.S. for another, I don't know how many billion. They threw in, what, $60 billion in Asia? Did it help? No. It was throwing good money after worse. It didn't help. It's not going to help. They're under the curse of God. And Brother Branham says, when God sends a message, He sends a preparation for the people. If the people reject that preparation, there's nothing left but judgment. From presence of God unrecognized, He said, like in the days of Jesus, same thing. Watch Him standing here now. He said, as it was in the days of Jonah, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation will seek after a sign. Now you know what I think He was doing. He was prophesying, a wicked and adulterous generation. I wonder if any man in his right mind could deny that we are living in a weak and an adulterous generation. When homosexuals' perversion and the divorce rate in America is higher than any nation in the world, and the whole world's gone into a chaos of it. 3 out of every 4 nearly is divorced around, taking the whole thing around in 10 years of marriage. See? Think of it. Divorce, marry again, and marry again. Divorce and marry again. They were eating, drinking, marrying and given, marrying wives and given in marriage. Look at the hour we're living in. When was it that it's ever been in such a chaos? From Believest Thou This, said, God always makes the preparation for things. Don't you believe that? He said, or don't you believe that? I want you to listen close. I believe today with all my heart. Now, this is just Brother Ram speaking, you see. But I believe that the things that you see are taking place now is a preparation. God is preparing something just before a climax. God always warns the world, and then if they will not receive the warning, then there's only one thing left, and that's judgment. Noah warned the world, and they would not receive it. And all through the age, God always warned. He sends them, He sends mercy, and if they spurn mercy, there's nothing left but judgment. But the merciful Father will send mercy first, and He already has, and it's been rejected. From preparation, He said, God in His preparation, back when God was going to destroy the world, before He destroyed the world, He sent forth a preparation for the saving of the people that desire to be saved. He always does it. He shows mercy before judgment. And if men spurn mercy, there's only one thing left, and that's judgment. And God don't judge you. You judge yourself. That's true. As long as you're under this spray of blood that's around the world, you have a right. You have the right of God's mercy. The blood of Christ keeps God from killing you, or He kill you just as soon as you sin. But that's still God's holding from you, from your death, or holding you from your death. But when you're a free moral agent now, but when you die and your spirit goes beyond that, then you're already judged. You don't have to wait for judgment. You're already judged. God done said, the day that you eat thereof, that is the day you'll die. And that settles it. From respect, He said, let's take Noah for a moment. Now, Noah had a revelation from God, yet it was contrary to anything that science could, would prove to be. But yet he has spoken to God, and God has spoken to him. And he went about preparing an ark, where the scoffers and the mockers of the Bible said that they would be in the last days, like there was in them days, that those scoffers scoffed at Noah. Why? They thought that he was out of his head, because he was building an ark. But so God brought judgment upon them scoffers, because they would not listen to the messenger of God and come into the ark under his preaching. Then God sent his divine judgments on the earth. First, he made a preparation for all who would receive it to escape it. And then if they did not escape it, there's only one thing left. If they won't take God's preparation of escape, then there's only one thing left, and that's divine judgment. Now, how long did Noah... Noah knew he was going to go in an ark, right? God told him how many days of provisions to store up, didn't he? Noah didn't enter the ark and say, well, you know, God will somehow give us food. Maybe we can go fishing or something. There'll be plenty of water to drink. No, God had him store up clean water. Had him store up clean food. Not only for him and his household, but for his animals. Yes, brother, sister, here's parallels. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. I see it everywhere. And it's coming. From the message respects. Let's take Noah for a moment. Now, Noah had a revelation from God, yet it was contrary to anything that science would prove to be true. But yet he had, from the message, why? When God makes a way of escape for the people and the people refuse that escape, then God asks a question, why? I think he has a right to. If God does all that he can for the people and the people refuse to receive his help, then he has a right to ask why they didn't do it. I believe it'll be that way at the judgment. When God has made every preparation that could be made for the church and for the people, and then they refuse it, God's going to ask us why we didn't receive it. I believe that. From looking unto Jesus, he said, we find out here, there was another man looked by the name of Noah. He looked and saw the judgment of God upon a wicked world denying generation was being poured out. In his vision, as Noah was a prophet, God gave him a vision of how to build the ark, and instructed him how to make the construction, how it must be built. And in this, how could God, unless this vision being the word of God, when he's seen this wrath and making a way of preparation, always before coming judgment, there's a preparation made. It always is the word of God. Now, I have no word from the Lord through Brother Ram's message as to how long we need to have a preparation. I have no clue. Now, there may be something he said someplace. I don't know. But I do know this, that there is evidence throughout the entire scripture that God told the people to prepare. Now, when Jesus said, don't you be in the city when you see these things coming down. Now, did Jesus tell them when it was going to happen? No. He said, there'll be a sign. You'll see the abomination of desolation in the city. Brother Branham said, one day they're going to shut these churches down. Did he say when? Nope. Did he give us a sign? Yes, he did. He said, when the Federation of Churches comes, he says, when that squeeze comes down, is the distress of the nations on? Yes. Think it's going to happen soon? Yes. Did Jesus tell them? He said, when he said, don't be in the city, did he tell them where to go? No, he said, don't be in the city. So what do? They went to the country. The people made their own plans to get someplace out of the city. He left it up to them. You've got to make plans to be someplace, but to get out. Because even the Senate, the head of the judiciary, banking committee, the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, and he's the chairman of the Year 2000 Task Force. He said, when the year 2000 comes and they cannot produce welfare checks, there's going to be rioting in the streets. I am fearful that there will be chaos and rioting in the streets. Do you want to be in the city when that happens? You better not be. You better not be. Preparation, brother, sister. Preparation. Now, supposing that you're not preparing your soul.
supposing you do get out of the city and you last for a month or 2 months. But if you're not in the ark, your foods that you store, your waters that you store, won't mean a thing to you, because you'll be hunted down. Are we truly getting ready to go home? Are we just kind of saying all things continue? Where's the promise of this parousia? Where is the promise? Not of the parousia, but where's the promises associated with it? The squeeze and all these things. Hey, we got a great economy, do we? Do we? I don't think so. I know that one thing, Laodicea has been blinded, is blinded an awful lot of people. We got people today. Lots of people have left the word, left the responsibility because of a paycheck. Lots of people. Billy Paul said that when 77 came, 3/4 of the communications left off. Brother Cash told me he knew men that in the year 76, they went out and got themselves into debt $40,000, $100,000. When 77 came, they had to pay it back. Those people left the message. Lots of people like that. When the woman was told to take the potion, brother, sister, the word, the water separation, what did it do? It manifested what was in her. Is the word of God manifesting in you? Are you preparing your home? Are you preparing your home for going home? And are you preparing your home for that squeeze? We've known for 30-some years that there's a squeeze coming down on the bride, haven't we? Are we preparing ourselves for that squeeze? Or is that just a pipe dream? Hopefully we'll die of old age and we'll never see it. The squeeze is on the earth. The distress of nations is already taking place. We are just one bullet away from a dictator. A woman dictator. She's already dictating things anyway. But that which is under the table suddenly be revealed on top. It's a very interesting time that we're living in. Always before coming judgment, there's a preparation made. It's always is the Word of God. From Hebrews chapter 3, Brother Branham said, America doesn't want the gospel anymore. You just might as well admit it. The Anglo-Saxon people is finished, that's all. There's no gospel that America will receive. Oh, you get a few stragglings now and then, but just as the gospel, it's over. And you can't even preach to them, can't talk to them. They won't believe nothing, see? They just got their own hard-headed ideas, and they're set. And the next thing for this nation is judgment. She's going to have it, too. It may be through depression. It may be through atomic bomb. It may be through a great plague, a disease or something. But she's ready. It's coming, and 1,000 times thousands will fall. Now, what's 1,000 times thousands? That's millions. From this day of the Scripture, he says, we have a great nation, but she is now rottening and crumbling and shaking and giving away and trying to tax people to get their money to send over yonder to buy friendship with our enemies. They're throwing it back in our face. One world, two world wars, and still moving on to the third. Certainly, politics is rotten, corrupted, rotten to the bottom. And from testimonies that I was trying to say last night, the world's coming to the place it's falling apart politically, socially, economically. You say economics? More money? Yes, but where's it coming from? We're borrowed on taxes that we paid 40 years from today. She's broke. She's bankrupt, the nation. Not this nation, but all of them. And there's no way of ever getting it back. They can meet all they want, the G7. They'll never do it. And it's a trap. Listen, and it's a trap set exactly to swing this nation into something. So somebody's got to be manipulating the trap. And all of you are wise on that. Well, who's got the wealth of the world? Who holds it? Someone says Rome. Sure, it does. Rome holds it, and whenever we do, when we get broke, instead of these big merchant tobacco, whiskey, and so forth, like have to get the money, what we'll have to do, either change the currency or borrow the money.
And when they do it, it's the birthright sold right there, right back, exactly just as perfect and just what the Scripture says about it. I'd like to get a place sometime, Lord willing, when a tent comes on the scene. And I believe that's soon now. Soon I'm going worldwide. And I got a worldwide meeting coming now. And I'd like to get a place to where I could set down about 6 weeks and just take those things and go through them, you see, back and forth through the Scriptures. And it's astounding to see the hour that we're living in. It frightens me. It frightens me, not because in my heart the joy bells are ringing, knowing that the coming of the Lord is so close at hand, but what frightens me is to know that so many is unprepared for the hour that we're facing. That's the bad part. How many ever heard the story about the squirrels up there that time? Many of you, of course, I guess, everywhere. A little something like that happened the other day. And you've heard the story about the mountains coming down when the Lord wrote those things in the mountains the other day. Now, I'm not a preacher. Anybody knows that. I'm not a preacher. But it's made up in a spiritual form of watching things and seeing things move and forewarning people of things that's coming to pass. And it's just that. That's my makeup. I can't help that no more than you can help your makeup. But God has placed in each one of us in the body of Christ to do certain things. And I watch every little move, every objective, every motive, because everything is governed by a spirit. This church is put here for a purpose. There's a spirit behind this church, certainly. Spirit behind your home, behind your building, behind everything. There's a spirit, a motive, an objective. This church comes here to greatly exalt some human system or something, then its spirit is, or its motive is not right. But if it comes here to achieve something for the kingdom of God, then the motive and objective is both right. It's the motive, if the motive is directed that way. Now, we read last week from that article, rule number one, don't panic. Rule number two, panic first. That happened to come from this magazine that says the coming economic collapse, the fate of your money, your job, your family, your future. It's already happening. When all the experts said it can't happen. Too many safeguards. That's their Titanic. Isn't it interesting? The great Titanic, the unsinkable. God couldn't do anything to the Titanic. It's gone. It's history. God can't do anything to this great prosperity America's seeing. Hey, it's gone. It's history. It's going out the door. From oneness, Brother Branham said, the whole world is based on that. The whole economy of this nation is based upon a false conception. From the supernatural, brother and sister, our great America and our great economy that we have is rotting under the foundation, and someday I see it in the making right now, she'll lay in ruins. You know, it's interesting, brother and sister, when Eve stepped out from behind the protection of the Word, she left God's economy and entered Satan's economy. And Satan's economy has always been based upon what? A false conception. A lie. From Jezebel religion, Brother Branham said, when God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws a servant and sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. You watch for a depression, brother. You think you've seen something. You just wait for a while. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival? You wait after a bit. You just wait. Long and cry to hear the Word of God. The Bible said so. There'll be famine in the days and a cry to hear the Word of God. The Bible said so. There'll be famine in the days, said the prophet. And not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true Word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere, hid away. He ordained the ravens. He sent his servants, bless them birds, his servants that kept the voice of Elijah alive during the time of his isolation from the church. And from the first seal, Brother Ram said, now watch, in the end time, not in the early days when Christ was preaching, but in the end time, the last part of the week, where we just took the 70 weeks of Daniel, and Christ has prophesied for the 3.5 years, and 3.5 years are yet determined, is that right? And this prince in that time is to make up a covenant with Daniel's people, that which is the Jews. That's when the bride's taken out now. She won't see it. Notice in the last one half of Daniel's week, the people makes a covenant. This prince makes a covenant with Rome, makes a covenant with them, no doubt for the wealth. For a Catholic and Jew holds the wealth of the world. I was in the Vatican. I've seen the Triple Crown. I got to go all through the Vatican. Why, you couldn't buy it with a $100 billion. See? He goes on, why? And you just, the wealth of the world, the Bible said, was found in her.
Just think of a great place, the billion times. Why did communism rise up here in Russia? It just makes me sick in my stomach to hear so many preachers hollering about communism. They don't even know what they're hollering about. That's right. Communism ain't nothing. It's a tool in the hand of God to bring revenge upon the earth for the blood of the saints. That's right. And after the church is taken away, Rome and the Jews will make a covenant with one another. The Bible said that they would do it with the holy people. And now notice, they'll make it because why? This nation is going to be busted, and the rest of the world that's on the gold standard is busted. You know that. And if we're living off taxes, due bills for 40 years from now, where are we at? There's only one thing that can happen, and that's to call in the currency and pay off the bonds. But we can't do it. Wall Street owns them. And Wall Street's controlled by the Jews, and the rest of it's in the Vatican. And the Jews has got all the rest of the Wall Street in its commerce of the world. And we can't call it in. And if we could do it, do you think those whiskey guys and tobacco people, billions times billions of dollars a year, and write up all their income tax for a vulgar picture shows and things like that, and go out into Arizona there and buy billions of acres of land or thousands of acres of land and dig them big wells at $50,000 and pay it off with income tax? And they put you in jail if you pay yours, if you don't pay yours? But they write it off and throw up wells and send bulldozers in. And what do? They put housing projects in there, and the next thing they do is they turn around and make money. Turn around and their money that they made, and they have to make an investment and put houses, projects in there and sell them for millions of dollars. And do you think that them guys are going to compromise or change the currency? Like this fellow down here, Castro, did. He done the only smart thing that ever could be done when he destroyed the bonds. He paid them off and destroyed them. Notice, we can't do that. These guys won't let us. The rich merchants of the earth hold it, and then there's only one thing to do, and the Catholic Church can pay it off. She's the only one that's got the money. She can do it, and she will do it. And in doing this, to get it, she'll compromise with the Jews and make a covenant. And when she makes that covenant with the Jews, now remember, I'm taking this from the Scripture, and now when she does this and makes this covenant, we notice in Daniel 8 and 23 and 25, he will cause craft to prosper, and craft is manufacturing in his hand. And he makes this covenant with the Jews, and in the midst of his 3.5 years, he breaks his covenant as soon as he gets the thing wrapped up and gets the money of the Jews tied up. And when he does that, oh my, he's called the Antichrist until the end of the church age. For he and his children are against Christ and the Word. This man's called the Antichrist. Now he's going to hold the money. And that's where I think he'll come in. Just a minute. While I say this, then I want to go back to it in a minute. He's called the Antichrist and will be called the Antichrist in the sight of God until the end of time. Now, but then he'll be called something else. Now, when he gets the money under his control, then he'll break this covenant with the Jews, as Daniel here said that he would do it in the midst of the last half of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And then, brother, what will he do? He will have all the world trade and commerce, a pact with the world, because he'll hold the wealth of the world completely. And during that time, them two prophets will rise on the scene and call that 144,000. Then what will take place? Then the mark of the beast of Revelation 13 will set in, because he holds all the commerce, the trade and everything of the world. And what will take place? The mark of the beast will come in that no man can buy or sell except him that have the mark of the beast. Thank God the church will be enjoying a great 3.5 years in glory. Don't have to go through that. Now notice, God turns to the Jews. We read, and I don't know if I have a copy of that here, but we read an article. Wednesday night. From the World Net Daily. The first step in building Jerusalem Temple. Israel group plans to lay the cornerstone next month. You realize in 4 days from now, actually today's the fourth, 3 days from now on Wednesday at 9:30 their time, they're planning to lay the cornerstone for the temple. This is in the 50th Jubilee of Israel becoming a nation. Brother Branham said after the Feast of the Trumpets, which is a Jubilee, he said after the Feast of the Trumpets, what's the next thing? The Feast of Atonement. Where did you get those nail-scarred hands? In the house. In the temple. In the house of my friends. Is it later than we think? I think it's just tremendous. From USA Today, big headlines. Fed definitely shifts gears to outrace economic storm. So deflation, not inflation, has started to take root, and that is far more dangerous. Gillette this week announced a cut of 4,700 jobs because of falling foreign sales. Crown Cork and Seal, the largest U.S. packing plant, packing product maker, is slashing its worldwide workforce 7%. It's starting to hit. April surprises fill up the treasury. Economists survey, good, bad news, Y2K. Everywhere. Year 2000, the Federal Aviation Administration. Electricity. Energy Secretary Bill Richardson said he turned authority over to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for ensuring the nation's electricity grid remains reliable and efficient. When?
When the year 2000 hit.
Asian crisis. The World Bank urged Asia's crisis. It's all, brothers and sisters, the whole thing. Nations are breaking. Israel awakening. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for what's coming? He says, you see, if Satan has a kingdom, he got to have a false economy. He got to have something that can present to them to make them think that they are living. But it's absolutely on the vice versa side. It's death in the form of life. He's talking about out in Hollywood or out in Vegas someplace. They say life begins at 12 o'clock. He said, that's not life. That's perversion. Eve walked out from God's kingdom into Satan's kingdom. She walked out from God's economy into Satan's economy. From look away to Jesus said, so now I'm going to say something to you that I haven't said all along, and that is it, and that is the thing that we have looked for so long, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years now, or maybe longer. The third pole has now been vindicated. And I'm sure that you know what it is. Now remember, there will never be an impersonation of that, because it can't be. It cannot be. Now, it's in existence, and I'm warned of this, that soon, right after this time, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you. But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything that could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of his power. See? Now, I must continue in evangelism, just as I was commissioned first. I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word, and you know what to look for and how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism, and friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on. For the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Now, you might see some little odd thing happen for me, nothing sinful, I don't mean that, but I mean something odd to what the regular trend, because what I have reached to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here, watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. But it's going to be used, and everyone knows that for as certain as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you think real closely, and you are spiritual, as the Bible said, here's to him that has wisdom, the third is properly identified, see? We know where it is, so the third pole is here. It is so sacred that I must not say much about it, as he told me in the beginning. He said, this say nothing of it. You remember that years ago, it speaks for itself. But I've tried to explain the other, and I made a mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this, but this will be the thing that, to my opinion, starts the rapturing faith or the going away. See? Now, I must lay quiet for a while. Now, remember, and who's listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back. Not going up, but dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes, but it's thoroughly identified. There's coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power of the beast had before, which was pagan Rome, when it began pagan Rome. See? That this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. Now, what did pagan Rome do? They persecuted the Christians. What's this nation doing? The same thing. The Lamb came out of the earth. The other beast came up out of the water, thick as smoke to his people. This lamb came up where there was no people. A lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a lamb. He was a lamb. And then after a while, it received power and spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power of the dragon, the power the dragon had before him. And the dragon is Rome always. So you don't see, Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image of the beast, making a power that'll force all Protestants like a union. You have to be in this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to a church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. And now on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of all that altogether. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. It's tightening, and then when that time comes, and then the press comes to the place to where you're just, to where you're pressed out, then watch. Pressed out of what? Isn't that what the distress means when it says distress of nations? The press? Then watch. What I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pole then. It's absolutely to the totally lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. Now, we're closer than it seems to be. I don't know when it's, but it's real, real close. I may be in the building on a, I may be building a platform for someone else to step on. I may be taken before that time. I don't know. And that time may be this coming week that the Holy Spirit will come along and bring Christ Jesus. He may come this week. He may come yet tonight. I don't know when he will come. He doesn't tell us that. But I do believe that we're so close that I would never die of old age. Yet at 54 years old, I'd never die of old age until he's here, see? Unless I get shot or killed or something or other, some way killed. But just old age wouldn't kill me until he's come. And I believe that, and I want to say this. I have never said it before, but according to the scripture, according to what he said 33 years ago, down in the river, 1933 rather, what he said, everything has happened just exactly. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." See? So it is paralleled in it in every way, and I know that it will. The message will go on. Now from stature of perfect man, he said, this present government now is spending money for what? For tax money that they'll be collecting 40 years from now. She's done. That's lifeline out of Washington, D.C. across the nation. Taxes that they're spending and trying to buy foreign. Why, they're just giving it out any old way. And don't you see why? That's exactly what they're doing, going to do. See? And what is it? Now, if this nation goes busted and the only thing you can do is go busted.